Hi, I'm Stacy Johnson with Money Talks News. Here's one of our best podcasts from the archive that you may have missed.
This week, we have a special guest, my personal hero and a legend in the personal finance world, Joe Saul Sehy from Stacking Benjamins. Hello, Joe.
Stop, keep going, Stacy.
You are a giant in the personal finance world, and we're happy to have you. But let's go ahead and dive in. Let's talk about how we can turbocharge our retirement savings. Miranda, would you lead us off? Because I know that you sound turbocharged today.
Well, I mean, one of the things that's most interesting to me as we talk about retirement savings is the Employee Benefit Research Institute every year does kind of a summary report on the state of retirement savings and how people feel about retirement confidence. And it's found that 7 in 10 workers are confident they will have enough for retirement. But then you look at the average savings that, you know, that Vanguard says that, you know, the average is about $140,000 for those 65 and older. That average balance is about $280,000. And so it feels like there's something of a disconnect here where people feel like they're confident about retirement, but maybe that confidence is misplaced. And so I kind of wanted to talk to Joe about that a little bit. So Joe, like, do you see a kind of disconnect here between people's actual habits and what they think the future is going to look like?
I think one thing many of us do really, really well is we are phenomenally confident in this country while we do nothing. Right. We go down the wrong way. I am very confident and I will end up being nowhere. But seriously, it's not. And even for money nerds, you know, the things that frustrated me when I was a financial planner, and I haven't been one for a long time, but were these broke professors, people that knew everything and did nothing with it. Right. They know all the rules. They know all the right things to do. Like, I saw people that had the wrong investments, had the wrong approach, and were 85 to 90% there just because they had a bias toward actually doing something. So not what you know, it's about what you do.
You know what they say too, Joe, is those who can do and those who can't podcast.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, but I like to think that all of us do have more than $140,000 in our retirement accounts, right? We all do, right?
I have $140 million in my retirement account.
Right.
Well, no one can check. You can say anything you want.
He has $140 Ooh. Million and a ski mask. That's his retirement plan.
My wife and I spent $4 on two Powerball tickets last night.
Nice.
So, but we didn't win. So now I actually have to save for retirement.
That is bad.
If your financial planner comes to the table after doing all their analysis and research with a couple Powerball tickets, Stacy, and this is the key to your retirement,
This is your only hope.
your
odds, I'm telling you right now, are not good.
No. Well, and that's the thing too, right? Going back to what Joe is saying, right, about maybe we know what we should be doing, but we're not. And one of the things that this EBRI report says is that 60% of workers say that saving and investing for retirement is a major long-term goal, but only 30% of workers have developed a retirement income strategy. So people know it's important, but going back to what Joe says, maybe they're not doing it. It's hard to get motivated to do it, I guess, or maybe people just don't know where to start. So how
this is the reason why, Miranda, number one on my list was to automate stuff. Don't trust yourself to do something. Just automate. I mean, this sounds like the dumbest advice ever, but it is the one thing that you can fix right now. Set up an automatic savings plan, set it for a little more than you think you can do. Cause I'll tell you what, when I was a financial planner, I would say, let's do it for $25 more. And they go, oh, what if I need that money? And I'd say, well, guess what? We can lower it at any time. You know how many times people called me to lower it? Never. Once you set it up, we are lazy. We are so lazy. So set it up, automated, and don't trust yourself to make the move. And it happens automatically.
That was number three on my list. I've got 11 things here. Now I've got 10.
Right. Okay. But no, I think that's a really good point because it's great the earlier you start. And honestly, I did that with my son recently because I had started a Roth IRA
automated
for
him.
Right. Yes. But I helped him open an account on his own because I did set up I did set up a custodial Roth IRA for him when he was younger. But now that he's older, he's 20, all of the things, making his own money, he's putting his own money into things, into investments. And so I helped him. I said, let's set this up. And he's like, well, I don't have a lot of money for my paycheck. I'm going to school. I'm working part-time. There's not a lot of money there. I said, but let's just go ahead. And we went through his budget and he's like, I can do $5 a week. And I kind of did what you did, Joe. I said, what if we did 10? And so, he's been doing it. And he came to me the other day and he was just like, hey, I just checked out my Roth IRA. It's grown faster than I expected. Even in this crazy market, it's still grown faster than he expected. He said, I didn't miss the money. I'm ready to up it to $15 a week. And so He's upped it a little bit more. And he, like I said, he's got more than that. I started saving for him in a custodial Roth when he was like 7. So he's got that chunk. Yeah. So he's got that chunk there, but now he's doing it himself, which I think is also an important part. So that automation piece, I think, is just pure gold, pure gold.
Okay. But we've beaten that dead horse. Okay.
So have we though?
Let's talk. I mean, you know, a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are probably like Joe there on the cusp of retirement. So they really... That, in case for those of you who didn't notice that was me insulting Joe. But you're on the cusp of retirement, Joe. I've got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel, okay? But let's talk about some specifics, okay, for those folks out there. First of all, catch-up provisions for retirement accounts. If you're not in a retirement account, obviously you're an idiot getting a retirement account. If you are in one, put as much as you possibly can in, especially if you're getting up there in years. And you have to be over 50 to do the catch-up provisions. Anybody have the numbers?
There are some new ones. I'm trying to see if there are new ones for 2023.
I've got the 2023. It's
the catch-up numbers now, 7,500. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I think
the catch-up 7,500 and the maximum contribution is 22,500.
Yeah. So that's really good. So if you have enough that you can put, you know, 22,500 into a 401k, then you can make that catch-up contribution of an extra 7,500 if you're 50 or above. So that really does help catch you up really quick. The IRA also has a catch-up contribution.
Now I've only got 1,000 for that, and I don't know if it's higher in 2023. It's 1,000 this year.
But it's still better than nothing. So, with your catch-up contribution for the IRA, for the IRA, so if you wanted to, I think it's still, I want to say it is still going to be,
are you looking,
it's still 1,000.
Right,
yep. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. So it's still 1,000. So you can still do a catch-up contribution of an extra $1,000. So if you can't quite get that extra in for your 401k, you do have that option to do an extra for your IRA. I mean, if you have both, I mean, go ahead and do both. My goodness.
And, you know, I this is something that I'll say before you do, Miranda, and that is the HSA, too, is another way to save for retirement, right? And they have catch-up contributions as well. Right?
Yes. Right? Yeah. I think so. Yes. Yeah. So you have to be 55 to do the catch-up contribution for the HSA, but it is great because you can build that up and use that for your healthcare expenses during retirement. That's what I'm doing with mine. Actually, I was looking in preparation for this. About a third of my retirement account is actually in my HSA, my retirement savings.
Oh, sweet!
Like about a third.
Because that's fantastic.
Yeah, because I've been putting money in my HSA for like almost 10 years now. It's been almost a decade. And so I've just been consistently maxing that out and investing it, because you can invest your HSA money and investing it. So I was looking and I was like, wow, my HSA accounts for about a third of my retirement savings right now. That's amazing. And
that is amazing. How long have you been putting money in it? Forever?
Almost 10 years, I think, is when I was looking back. So it's a really great way to be able to set aside money. As long as you're using it for healthcare expenses, it'll never be taxed. And so I am using that as, you know, my account for healthcare in retirement, because I know healthcare is going to be expensive.
Well, I have an HSA, which I can't contribute to anymore because I'm on Medicare. Right. Right. But I could pay my Medicare premiums with my HSA if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not done that. But by the way, though, Miranda, and remind people, what is an HSA? How do you get one?
Yeah, so it's a health savings account. In order to qualify, you do need to have a high deductible health plan. And it's really what counts as a high deductible health plan is not so bad. It's pretty easy
what is
now.
It? What is it? Do you remember? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Is it $6,000? I can't remember now.
No, less than that. Yeah. So your high high deductible health plan is one where the IRS says that it's a deductible of at least $1,400 for an individual or $2,800 for a family.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yes. So it's pretty. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not. I mean, you know, not too bad.
No.
And,
I assume you've got one, Joe.
In HSA, fact, I don't, because I'm eligible I'm eligible for a fantastic, my wife works in healthcare, and so I'm eligible for a fantastic plan, which, by the way, is also a point. We had a listener bring this to us, Stacey, which is a good point, that we go on and on about HSAs and how wonderful they are, and they are, but if you are not eligible for an HSA, there are, you can still be okay without it. Like you can be,
oh, sure. 100%.
All right. Like some of the money nerds out there kind of, one got very frustrated going, I feel like I'm going to be not okay because I don't have one, but no, I have never put money in an HSA. I love them, but I'm one of the few people in America with an excellent healthcare plan. I feel kind of,
what does your wife do, Joe? My wife is also in healthcare.
Yeah. She's a pediatrician.
Oh, you're kidding. My wife's a nurse practitioner, but I bet she could beat up your wife. Is that the first time anyone's ever said that to you on a podcast?
Oh my gosh.
That's the.
Do I have you two on together again? Somebody remind me. Why do I do this?
I like saying weird things about my wife because she never listens to my podcast. Her mother does, but she doesn't. So I can just say anything I want.
Isn't that funny? Cheryl never listens to anything that I do. I was on TV in Detroit, Stacey, for 9 years as the money man twice a week.
I noticed that. WXYZ, right?
Yeah, and three times in 9 years she saw me. Three times.
Yeah, my wife loves taking pictures and looking at herself, but when I'm on TV, she doesn't look at me either. I mean, what the hell? Anyway, enough bitching about our wives. This is not helping people catch up with their retirement.
It is not.
Okay, so what else can we do? Joe, you're the hero here. What else you got on your list?
Well, I got to say that, you know, for all the people out there that are hearing us talk also about these numbers, about the catch-up contributions, like, okay, I'm nowhere near that, right? Because we got this disconnect we talked about earlier, people barely saving. And then on the high end, we got these uber achievers that are doing a lot. But if you're one of those people in the middle, I think an easy way to turbocharge your retirement is just look up a little bit more closely at your asset allocation. Like look more closely about how you're positioned. And I'll give you an example. The biggest question I'm getting right now, and I'm sure you guys are too, is should I slow down or take less risk with my investments? Well, hell no. If you're somebody that needs this money more than 10 years from now, this recession has given you a gift. And by the way, if you're somebody suffering right now, it clearly is not a gift. But if you're lucky enough to have employment, you're going to be able to continue through it. You can shovel money in. I would get more aggressive now. Let's make sure that. And by the way, I see people in their 20s all the time that are using like a robo advisor that's really well diversified. If you're in your 20s with your Roth IRA, don't use a robo advisor that's way diversified. Use stocks with a bias towards smaller companies and get the aggressive stuff going because volatility is going to be your friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Miranda is always, you know, oh, you put money in an S&P 500 index fund. I say, let's roll some dice.
Small cap.
The truth is we should be doing both. We're going to take a really quick break here. But after we get back, I'm going to tell you specifically how you can get free money for your retirement. We'll be right back. Okay, you know I said I was going to tell you how to get free money for your retirement? I just said that to keep people here through the break. I actually didn't.
I think what you're going to tell people, Stacey, was sell the shirt you were wearing and just go black screen, right? And that's free money for your retirement.
Well, you know, I feel so free being naked on this podcast. It's really fun. What I was going to say was get matching money from your employer. If you can get matching money from your employer and you don't get it, then you're crazy. I mean, always put in enough to get the maximum match from your employer, if you possibly, obviously, can afford to do so. And I read something, Miranda, which I wasn't familiar with, that some employers even match HSA contributions. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah, some of them do. I actually had an employer who did that when I was working for a startup the 2 years that I had a W-2 once. Some of them do that. And that's another great way to get some free money, extra free money, all the free money.
There's very little free money available in the world. And so when you have the opportunity to grab some, grab it. Always. What else you guys got?
Well, I was actually thinking it would be good because so many people don't have a plan and don't know how to get started. If we go ahead and ask Joe, since he's a former financial planner, step by step, how do you create this plan, right? We've talked about like, okay, well, here are some numbers, here are some catch-up contributions, here are some things you can do with your asset allocation. But how do you get started? How do you make that plan? How do you figure out how you're going to reach your goal, right? We all talk about like, oh yeah, we got to save for retirement. Well, how do we get that plan going? How to reach the goal. So Joe, take us through it. How do you help somebody make a plan?
Well, they say that if you don't know where you're going, any map will get you there, right? So if we begin with the end in mind, like Stephen Covey said, I think we're much more likely to make sure our money's in the right place. So I always like goal-based investing, period. Knowing the goals are going to change, it's not going to be right, which means we're going to continually reevaluate the goals. But I would take out just a simple sheet of paper, landscape style, put yourself as like a stick figure on one side, the grave on the other. With Stacy, those are going to be very close together.
Very close.
Back,
very
getting
close.
Them back for earlier. See how I did that? Yes. I'm an elephant, Stacy. I don't forget. But put those.
I wasn't going to say it, Joe. But yeah, you are
on your grave when you die. Joe is going to come back and trample your dead body like that elephant did to that woman.
I'm not pouring liking you guys
salt
right
on
now.
All that grass. Yes, over top.
Okay. No, so anyway.
Yeah, but then make a bunch of circles about all the things that you want and begin with those and ask yourself, what do these things cost? And then work that back to your budget today. How much do I need to save to get those things? And let them fight it out. Because I think that this is not about money. The conversation we're really having is about what do I value? And do I value X more than Y? And so I think that by starting off with putting your goals out in order, the big things you want, finding out what they cost, in this case, retirement. What do I want for myself in retirement? Oh, it's the same standard of living. What do I want? And then seeing what that costs. I think that's where you begin.
I think that's excellent advice. And you know what? The first thing on my list, by the way, if you want to put more money in toward retirement, see where your money's going now. Examine your budget. Yep. Make a budget. You know, and then, like you said, Joel, if you have a goal, then you're going to reach that goal, you're going to take certain steps. And one of those is obviously putting money aside. And so, in order to find out if you have more money that's hiding in your budget, have a budget. See where your money's going. Look at it. Well, see if you can allocate it elsewhere.
Yeah. And to your point, Stacy, people hate budgeting. But what you're saying makes the budget easier because now you have a reason that you're budgeting. Like people hear the budget and they're like, oh, it's confining, it's restricting. No, this is going to help me get this stuff that I really want in my life.
Yep.
Then it works.
And without a goal, you're going to just wander around. You're absolutely right.
I call it a spending plan because that makes me feel happy inside.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing something fun. But it's basically the same principle where I say, hey, these are the things that matter. These are the things I want to accomplish. And like Joe said, ages ago, I did. I sat down. I said, okay, what do I want my retirement to look like, or retirement, whatever that comes to for an online content creator. But I said, okay, what do I want that to look like? What things do I want to accomplish? How do I want my life to look? And how much money am I going to need to do that? And then, like Joe said, I said, okay, now how much do I need to set aside each month to make that happen later? And then I automatically put that money aside every month into investment accounts to say, okay, these are the things. And so that's part of my spending plan, is to start with those top priorities and say, I am making sure I am fueling my top priorities. And once I'm fueling those top priorities, the stuff that doesn't matter as much, if I have to cut that out, it doesn't hurt as much. And having those circles, like Joe said, makes you look at that and say, wait a second, okay, I don't need like another subscription to, you know, a beauty box or whatever. I don't need that, especially, you know, that money each month, especially if I'm looking at the beach, this picture of the beach that I've put out there for my retirement. So I'm like, do I want the beauty box now or the beach later? I want the beach later. And having something to look at, I think, really helps you feel that. Yeah,
you have to have an eye on your future self, you know. Yeah. And one of the things that I have on my list too is if you get a windfall, You get a tax refund. You get an inheritance. Blah blah blah. Get a raise. Give half to yourself. Give half to your now self, and give half to your future self.
Fabulous.
And one thing we have trouble doing is imagining ourselves in the future. I don't, because I'm already in the future. I mean, I'm here now. I'm already old. So all I have to do to remind myself of my future self is look in the damn mirror. Okay, there I am.
Every but study anyway, shows you know, what you're saying, Stacy, is true. That people, when they save for retirement, like in our brain, it feels like we're saving for a different person. So the more that you can make that future tangible by saying, mm-hmm. I want to do this, then you can envision yourself there and you're much more likely to save for it than doing something today that you can see.
Yeah, because you know all these rules we're throwing out here, catch-up provisions, HSAs, blah, blah, blah. None of it matters if you can't focus on a goal. Because it just sounds like blah, 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 you know? But if you focus on a goal, then you're going to start looking for ways. When, you know, I wrote a book 20 years ago. You guys were in middle school at the time, called Life or Debt. And in that, and I talked about spending plan versus budget, you know, use a spending plan. But you know what? People hear the word budget, they think diet. But there's a huge difference, because when it comes to diets, there, you know, cottage cheese does not taste like steak. But when it comes to budgeting, you can go out to dinner and split an entree, have an appetizer at home, split an entree. You still went out to dinner. So you don't have to sacrifice your quality of life in order to find money in your budget to put towards your goals, including retirement.
I always feel better, Stacy, when Cheryl and I do that too. When we split an entree, it's never a mistake. It's never a mistake.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do that with my wife too, because, you know, because the portions are big anyway. And you know what I found too? If you want to take, say you want alcohol at the restaurant, just wait till the table next to you goes to the bathroom and just take their drinks. I mean, there are lots of ways that you can stretch that budget.
for a lot of incomes though, these things seem insurmountable. I mean, but I helped a tenant one put in the price. We had our very first tenants, and they were a nice little family and they're low income. And I said, you know what? We got this trick we want to do to kind of incentivize you guys to keep our house nice, is we're going to hold back $50 a month, but then we're going to give it to you at the end of the year. So it's kind of like this Christmas.
What a nice thing
thing. And so they ended up getting $600, you know, at the end of every year. And at the end of that, they were always like, man, this is so cool. We love that you do this for us, you know, because, you know, we kind of blow money and everything. And in the end, when they finally moved out, you're like, you know what? We learned so much from that, you know, and we started saving a lot more. And then they ended up buying a house.
That is so really cool, kind of cool, Aaron. That's a great story. That.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to show people, if you go to episode 146, we interviewed Andy Hill, and he sacrificed a little bit harder than most. I mean, he sacrificed a lot to pay off a house in 5 years. So that's a pretty good episode. It shows you how, you know, if you buckle down and do things, you can make things happen, whether, you know, that well, are
yeah,
big ticket
and
items.
By the way, Aaron, that's excellent stuff. And one of the points on my list was amp up your earnings, you know, make more money. And, you know, 'cause you were just saying some people can't put money aside because they don't have enough money. They have more month than money, you know? So sometimes you might have to increase your income. You do an outside gig, ask for a raise, and I want to be really clear, unless you work for Money Talks News, do not ask for a raise then. But all you other people out there.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking that maybe it's time for a raise.
You work for Stacking Benjamins? Demand a raise.
Look at the time.
So what else do you guys have? And speaking of time, we don't have a whole bunch left. What other ideas do you guys have to help people turbocharge their retirement savings?
Well, I think like Aaron said, sometimes we get so caught up in these big things, and like I have never ever maxed out like a 401k year contribution. I realized I didn't need to. If you start early enough saving a smaller amount, then you don't actually need to max that out. And some people can't max it out yet, or they can't work up to it. So being able to build in these milestones where you say, okay, I'm going to start. The important thing is to start and be consistent. So I'm going to start. I'm going to be consistent. When I see that I can free up a little bit more money, I will add that to my automatic investment and consistently grow that each year. And I started out it was a long time ago, but I started out $50 a month is what I started out with. My first Roth IRA, I started out with $50 a month. And if I just stuck with $50 a month from there, I would not be enough to retire on. But what I did was, after watching that, after making sure I reinvested dividends, that's another thing you can do, is make sure that when you get those dividends from your investments, you're reinvesting them. A dividend is a little payout that you get just for having a share of some stocks or some funds. And we just reinvest those dividends. And then every year, I said, I'm going to increase what I'm putting in there each month by 10%. And pretty soon I was increasing it by even more as my income grew, as I rejiggered my values and said, wait a second, what am I giving up? What am I giving up in the future for whatever it is I'm buying today? And does it really matter to me today? And once I started doing that, it's kind of a slow, gradual process. But you can start, like I said, my son is started with, $10 a week, and now he's up to $15 a week. And he's slowly building that and slowly seeing how he can do that. And the sooner you can start, the better off you're going to be.
Excellent advice. And another thing I have on my list too, when you pay off debts, keep making payments, just make them to your retirement account instead.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that even just with people have a car payment. If you get your car paid off, keep making that car payment into a fund that is your car payment fund for the next vehicle, and then switch that around where you finally get to the point that you're paying cash for your cars.
There you go. I've never financed a car, but I've never bought a new car either. Actually, that's not true. I bought a new car for my
wife.
We have
disagreements about this, but we'll move on.
We disagree about everything, Miranda, except for that I'm super talented and look like Brad Pitt. On that, we agree.
Well, wait a minute. You said your wife could beat up my wife. Could your wife beat up Miranda?
I couldn't beat up Miranda.
Back and forth there? Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
She scares the hell out of me.
I think listeners want to see that way more. You two fight cage match than...
You know what? I think that is absolutely true.
I would just knee Stacy in the junk and move on with my day. That's how I would handle that.
We're really digressing a lot on this.
This is what I like. I said, why did I ask Joe to come on? Not sure, but here we are.
I've listened to the show many times, and I think Miranda verbally knees you in the junk a lot, Stacy.
She really does. She really does. And I get no sympathy whatsoever. In fact, Joe, we have had somebody write in and say, I'm glad Miranda put you in your place. Like, I already have one wife. I don't need another one. Okay, so another idea I have, because we are going to run out of time, I'd like to give somebody some kind of specific advice. Having an emergency fund is really important, too. Why? Yeah. Because God forbid you should have to tap your retirement account before you reach 59 and a half. So, make sure that you've got plenty of money set aside so that if emergency does arise, you're not going to have to raid those accounts, right?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And mine, while we're talking about values, and another one that was on my list, guys, was don't forget the little things. While, changing out the latte is not going to make the huge world of difference, if you don't value it, and you add that to your automated savings. I'll tell you what my cousin does. Instead of getting all of the different channels, we all cut the cord and now we have all these different channels, Disney Plus, Apple TV, we got them all. He now once every 4 months texts me and everybody else he knows and says, what are you guys watching on Netflix? And he gets the whole list. And that's the only one he signs up for. And he binges all those, like the top shows there. Then he does the next one. Well, that saves him maybe, let's say, $50 a month. Doesn't seem like much money. And for a lot of people, like, yeah, I'm out. But listen to this. At the end of a year, that's $600 a year. Still doesn't sound like a lot. But for him, he really likes to travel. And so that ends up being $6,000 every 10 years, which is two more trips every 10 years. If he takes $3,000 trip is a hell of a nice trip. And he's going to do two more every 10 years, which is materially different in his life. So don't forget the small things. If you don't value it, cut it and automate it and add that.
Joe,
get a library card and go even further.
Yeah. There's a million ways to save money. And one of my last thing, as a matter of fact, is be financially literate. Listen to podcasts like this. Read things and you're going to get ideas. I mean, Money Talks News, we have 12,000 articles, many of which are about how to save on this, that, or the other without sacrificing your quality of life. So be literate and you will find extra money in your budget. And that's probably the most important thing you can do. You got to learn how to invest so you're not afraid when you put money in your 401k and into a stock market fund. So you got to understand what you're doing. And it's not that hard, obviously, because look at the four people here. We know how to do it, so you can too. I guess we know how to do it.
Mic drop.
So, and speaking of which, it is time to drop a mic. Anybody have anything compelling that they need to add to this excellent podcast? Nothing? I can always find something else to say. You guys can't? Okay, that's fine.
Oh, I can. Stacy, you're looking better than I've ever seen you today.
There you go. That's how we'll close it out.
Oh, my gosh. Roll credits. Roll credits.
Okay, guys. We are out of time, but we are never out of topic. Dig a little deeper. You're going to find links to lots more info in our show notes. And remember, if your goal is to make more, to spend less, to retire rich, your online home is moneytalksnews.com. And don't forget to check out Miranda's online home as well. That is Miranda Marquit, MARQUIT.com. And of course, you want to see Joe at his website, stackingbenjamins.com. And don't forget to check out his podcast as well, because it's hilarious and it's very, very well done. If you've got a question, comment, or topic that you'd like to suggest, we would love to hear from you. Just email us at hello@moneytalksnews.com. That's hello@moneytalksnews.com. And one final thing, if you like what we do, do something for us. Subscribe to this podcast. Takes you 2 seconds, really helps us. So if you like us, show us and subscribe and tell your friends too. I'm Stacy Johnson.
I'm Miranda Marquit.
I'm Aaron Freeman.
I'm Joe Salcihi.
Yeah, sorry, Joe. I meant to tell you that at the beginning and say your name at the end. Okay. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We're going to see you right here next time.